Blog
Hello
Talk
and welcome.
Radio.
Oops. Hello and welcome to Meet the New Kids, Episode 1. This is your host, Henry Draper, or All Natural Henry, and we will be interviewing Cornelius Foley today, or who is also known as Cornelius, the new fun drummer. And Cornelius has written a little bit about himself that I will read here. And Cornelius is a free being of real light, incarnated to recognize more of what is real here in creation. Cornelius has gone through many experiences, fun times, and challenges in this current life, which have helped him to realize the depth of how all beings in creation can live hundreds to thousands to millions of different lives in a myriad of different body types. Up to this point in life, he is very interested in studying health, psychology, and music. In this interview, Cornelius will share his current perspectives on many aspects of creation. He will be chronicling his story to recognize more of what is real and how he likes to have fun with it all. You can find him on Facebook as Cornelius the New Fun Drummer, and there's a link here in the description that you can click, as well as a link to our website, wonderfulworldwideeducators.com. So, hey, Cornelius, how's it going? And do you want to start off by saying anything in particular before we, or do you want to just start by, you know, where you grew up this lifetime and maybe a past life that you want to talk about or anything?
Hey, Henry, it's cool to be here. Yeah, sure. I'll just start off by saying I'm here just outside of Washington, D.C., where I was born and raised. And that's quite a place to be on the planet Earth, if anyone's following what's going on, you know, in terms of government and things. It's very deep in terms of how the history of Washington, D.C., the history of the United States. So it's an interesting place to be, you know. I think in a past life, or let's just say, I'll put it this way at this moment, that I chose to be here in this particular area on the earth and experience the certain vibrations, the certain events that are going on, the people that are around, the whole mixing bowl of energies. So it's a really interesting place to be. I've kind of waxed and waned in terms of how I feel about being here, but right now I'm agreeing to stay here, and it's I'm finding more and more things that are of interest. So it's kind of cool. That's where I'm at right now. And yeah, I think I'll just jump into, as you mentioned in your intro there, about myself and how I want to kind of chronicle my story up until now. I'm in my late 20s, and things have been very interesting. And I want to chronicle the story of what's been going on, what I've experienced, and tie that into how I've just come to become, I've come to recognize a whole lot of things about creation, about myself. And so, yeah, I'll just jump in with some of my earliest childhood memories. Now, within the new presentation, there's a lot of focus on the all-natural environment and the children, because the children have this state of awareness, especially from ages, being born ages 0 to about 4 or 5 years old, where they're really, really aware. You know, they remember their dreams. They have a lot of ideas. They have little intuitions and perspectives on things that unfortunately get shut down. They have this innate sense of things that are shut down way too soon by the adults who think they know what the children should be thinking, saying, doing. And so I want to start with that. You know, some of my earliest childhood memories of, you know, my innate sense of things. So I remember one, for example, with food. This very vivid memory of, you know, being served fast food, served, I don't know, pastas with stuffed shells. Pastas is actually this particular vivid memory I have, where I didn't want the pasta I wanted just more fruit, and I wanted to just eat these peaches and these apples. And my mother, unfortunately, got very upset at that. She was very, you know, proud of the meal she made for me, and pretty much scolded me for asking for fruit and other things I wanted to eat. So it's like little things like that, kind of, as I reflected on them, showed me that I already had this intuitive sense of what I wanted to do and eat in this life. And other things in my childhood, for example, like I always had this sense that shopping, you know, shopping at malls, shopping at different stores, and doing that kind of chronically, like always trying to have new clothes and things like that, was very frivolous. And even in my earliest memories, I remember being in stores and trying to hide or run away from my parents. You know, in the clothing stores, I'd be in the middle of a rack somewhere hiding, or I'd be making a big fuss on shopping trips saying I wanted to go play at home or something like that. And just was, unfortunately, kind of shut down from these innate things that I wanted to do, more fun things. I also remember playing sports growing up. I was fairly athletic, but I just didn't have a certain competitive attitude that many children or adults have. And I think that played out in my life later in life in a negative way, meaning I thought I should have a competitive attitude. And then that became like a self-defeating attitude because I didn't think I was competitive enough. So it all became like an agreement, like I need to become more competitive. I thought I should kind of, you know, join the bandwagon of competing and things like that. So those are some of the early childhood memories where I realized, like, I had these innate, upon reflection, I realized I had these innate senses of things I wanted to do and how I wanted to be in this world. And they were really shut down, and unfortunately I agreed to being another way. So just kind of moving into my young teens and teenage high school years, I really became fed up with the idea of, you know, just looking at colleges and seeing how much money it costs and how much time and effort it took. It just didn't feel right to me. So I really enjoyed, like, for example, I was just kind of intelligent on my own. I could get by with really good grades with, you know, not reading the books or anything or just skimming through books. And I just had this feeling throughout schooling like it was a lot of hours but not a lot of learning. So after high school, I got caught up in different things. I call them my deprogramming years now. I call them my deprogramming years because I just decided to not do what the normal path would be, to, you know, go to college, get a full-time job, or, you know, or go through more college into master's or doctorate degrees. I decided to really just do my own thing. So I continued reading and studying, but just things I wanted to do. But unfortunately, some habits kind of evolved or developed because of some other programming in my mind, which was like, you know, I'm not competitive enough or I'm not good enough. So that was still in my mind. So that became a self-defeating attitude. And things like alcohol and marijuana kind of like helped with that. So like that became a problem in my life throughout my years of like 18 to 25 or something. And I call those years the deprogramming years, the indulgent years, but those are fine because I decided to do them and I learned a lot. I mean, it wasn't like terrible or anything. There's some hard times, but also a lot of fun times. And as a result, I learned a lot, became really aware of certain things. So like I saw the beauty of nature, the absolute gloriousness of it all, how wonderful it is. And I saw how so many people are just having no fun at all. You know, those are the main lessons I learned. And it's unfortunate, you know, if you're not having that much fun. Let's see. Oh, and I remember actually this, I'm kind of jumping around here and there, but these are all these memories that are coming to me and that I wrote down here. I remember going to Catholic church, and I remember going to church and always being so so bored. You know, there's no inspiration there. I never wanted to go. I only went because I got free donuts or breakfast afterwards. That's kind of how I was coaxed into going. But I remember being there and just looking at, you know, the crucifix, Jesus on a cross, and being like, how is this a place to be? And why are we here? And there's this huge, just dead man nailed to a cross in front of us. And like, this doesn't feel right to me. So I just had that intuition that things were a little off. And so I decided that, you know, definitely going to church was not for me as soon as I hit the age that I could decide really not to go. What else did I recognize? Things I really loved were swimming. So for me, swimming and just anything water, of course, clean, good water. I always had this innate sense of like what is right to put in my body. So like in high school, I was very into nutrition and studying what to eat and how to exercise. So I was a big swimmer. That was my main sport in high school. And swimming really taught me how beautiful it is and how, like, almost like how it feels to fly when you get into the water and, like, you push off and you go into the deep end and swim down. And you just, like, you can spin around, flip over, you know, do all these cool moves. So it's like that's what it really feels like to be free in the pool or in the ocean, just swimming around. So I think that's one of the main reasons I stuck with swimming. It's such a thrill. Unfortunately, there is a competitive aspect to it, which I got over. But then swimming paid off later, too, because I became a swimming teacher. And I got to become more in touch with the kids again, with the children. So I started teaching swimming after high school. And I was teaching maybe 15 to 20 kids a week from ages 4 to 12 or 13. And those years were awesome. I just got a lot of confidence in how, you know, I began to relate to people, and I enjoyed so many hours swimming with different kids and just being around their energy. And they would tell me stories or have little unique perspectives on things. And I was one of the teachers that tried to foster their abilities without, you know, being too strict. So a lot of other swim teachers, and I was very successful, so a lot of other swim teachers are kind of looking at me like, how do you get the kids to listen? It's like, well, really, I'm not telling them to do anything. I'm just kind of showing them what I like to do, and they either follow along, or because I'm open to, you know, whatever they want to do, they show me things. So they show me how they want to jump in the pool or flip around or swim on their back. And it just became this interplay rather than me, in a way, kind of dominating their attitude of what to do, you know, how a lot of teaching can be, you know, you must do it this way and the right way. Yeah, it's very open. And so those years are really enjoyable for me. And I still do teach swimming from time to time. And so, yeah, in my early 20s, I was teaching a lot of swimming, was really more into fitness. I became a personal trainer as well, a fitness trainer. And that was cool. So I got to work with adults who, and this is where I really started to learn about how adults are really not having fun. So many adults are just in a rut of sorts in their life, you know, stuck with certain jobs that aren't inspiring to them, or just have always something on their mind that's dragging them down, dragging their mood down. And I did my best. You know, fitness is a good thing. Exercising, it can increase different, you know, good chemicals, serotonin, dopamine in the brain. And, you know, losing weight is good if you're overweight and things like that. So that was enjoyable for the most part. And it was a learning experience. And then eventually, so one thing about me that I learned in the past couple years is that I'm highly empathic or sensitive to people's energy, which everyone really is to a certain degree. But then I started to really hone in on that once I started to read about it. So I would realize I would go home and kind of feel stressed out. And I didn't really know why. It's like everything's going pretty cool. But really what I realized was I was picking up others' energy. So if I'm listening to someone constantly complaining or having a bad attitude about things, I'm going to just have that kind of energy in my energy field for a while. And I didn't know that for a long time, for a year or two while working. until I went and did my own studies and just came across different books about being empathic or sensitive or clairsentient. When I went to a soul coach one time, and she said, I'm highly clairsentient. I can feel other people's emotions and energies coming off them. So that led me down a path of, you know, what are all these, why is this happening? Why are people so stuck in certain energies that don't feel good? Why be there? You know, why are they doing this to themselves? And that led to studying a little bit of psychology, studying about what's going on the planet in terms of how we're treating each other, you know, whether it be wars, whether it be in politics, whether it be in your neighborhood, you know, or in the city. So eventually I came across what can be coined as conspiracy theories and diving deep into history, ancient history. And that was, that was really wild times for me and still is. I'm right there in it right now. So, so I'm learning about, you know, different dark aspects of history and manipulations that the government has done, starting different wars that were just nonsensical, or they made sense to them because they wanted to start a war to emanate vibrations that would feed, you know, their power-hungry egos or feed different interdimensional beings that wanted to feed off that energy. So that was really wild, and I said, I need to figure out a way not to be so clairsentient, so empathic. I can't live this way. This is too much. So I got into, you know, different body energy practices, Qigong, martial arts, jiu-jitsu. But mainly the main thing, if I could share for me, was the biggest, was just different. So I got into yoga too. So different breathing exercises. Breathing exercises changed my life completely because I then was able to, like, I call the breath now like the remote control, where I can take a few deep breaths or do some conscious breathing techniques that will balance out my body state, so I could be around certain energies and not have them affect me, or I could clear them very quickly. So anyone interested in different breathing techniques can contact me, or I just recommend, you know, diving into that for yourself. Highly recommend it. So yeah, and I, throughout this time, I'm reading different books on psychology and even quantum physics and trying to figure out, like, what's going on. Why is there so much darkness? Why are people's minds kind of trained in certain ways? And I'm, you know, learning about how there are different secret societies that use subliminal programming to, you know, train people's minds to think a certain way, and that they're creating their own kind of dark black magic rituals to make sure everyone's staying in those ways of being and thinking. And throughout that, I'm just, you know, looking into ways to kind of protect yourself. So all the breathing techniques, all the keeping healthy is just the way to go. And where you're putting your attention, very, very important. So but it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily just focus on love, joy, and bliss for me. It's like focused on recognizing why it's happening, what is happening, and going to the source of it. So, you know, that's what became most empowering to me, you know, because I did get caught up in the power of now, just focusing on what's love and light, and that just didn't feel right. I could never stay there, and if anything, I would fall further. You know, I'd want to go drink again or just, you know, it became very depressed at times. So, yeah. So once I started to recognize, you know, the root causes of things, of people's attitudes and perspectives on life, that became the most empowering thing to me. So I'm learning about, you know, the original stories of religions and how it's pretty much all the religions are extraterrestrial, you know, interdimensional beings that are coming down to train human minds to be certain ways or manipulating their DNA. And it's really wild and crazy. And, you know, people are deceived in so many different ways that I don't know where to start particularly, but there's plenty of material out there. And I know the new presentation and everyone that's involved is doing their best to, like I said, become more aware and recognize the root causes of these things. So there's plenty of material out there. So, yeah, and my real awareness, like what I used to call my higher self, but it's just like the real me, like just the pure awareness. It really was guiding me this whole time to not fully be dedicated to anything. Meaning, because once you're like fully dedicated or attached to something, like a certain way of doing or being, it can be called taplining. It can be taplined, and then you get duped into thinking that you need to fix something, or you have to create something. You have to create a paradise, or you have to create, you know, something that that everyone can jump on, like a new religion. You know, you don't have to do any of that. You just have to recognize, you know, what's happening, and then, you know, take it day by day and create things that are what I call, you know, lately I've been calling them just create things that make sense in a way for the now and the near future. So you don't have to say, I want to make sure my life is glorious in 20, 30 years. Like, let's be good for the next couple months and year or so. And just take it, you know, step at a time. And that's really becoming a way of thinking and doing that's much more what I would say, you know, the true enlightenment. I'm kind of lighter on my feet and lighter in my thinking. I'm not fully attached or dedicated to anything. I just feel that something that is generally kind and generally, you know, not trying to violate anyone's free will, not trying to be overpowering, and I'm doing my best, and I'm doing something that makes sense to me. So other things that are interesting I'd like to share really quick about my experiences with children, especially the past 3 or 4 months since I've come across the new presentation, and I've been singing the new you and drumming a lot and talking to a few kids. I teach 3 different kids how to swim right now, just kind of on the side, because their parents kind of know that I used to teach swimming a lot, so they contacted me. And I've been asking them, you know, hey, do you have any dreams last night? I'll tell them about my dream. Like, we'll kind of be sitting at the side of the pool. I say, oh, I had a dream about how I was an eagle and I flew, and then I, you know, do something funny and jump in the pool. And then one of the young girls jumped on my back and said, I had a dream I was on a big bird. And then we flew around and went to 2 genie friends. Like, she sees 2 genies that grant her wishes when she's on the real side, when she's dreaming at night. So it's really interesting to hear her stories. Like, one was the genie will take her to, you know, a magical forest where everything is like all pink and yellow and purple, and she just gets to, you know, roll around in the she says the grass feels like blankets, and the flowers she can pick up, and then they grow back right away, you know, instantly. It's really cool to hear some of her stories. And so that's one fun thing I wanted to share. And then I've had plenty of real side experiences or in my dreams where personally some of them were kind of difficult, meaning I'm being chased. I remember one was like I was in an airport and there's all these weird animals that I've never seen on Earth, like kind of like a mix between an anteater and a cow, like a huge anteater. And that was just chasing me, but I felt more powerful than it. Like, I was kind of scared, but not fully scared, because once I stopped and looked at it, it stopped too. And didn't, like, really try to attack me or anything. Maybe it was actually a god saying, you know, keep it moving. You don't need to be in this airport anymore. So that was a really interesting one that just came to mind. But, so, let's see. Oh, another thing I'd like to share real quick. I'll share this, and then, Henry, if you have a question or two or another topic or theme you want to bring up, feel free. But this is a quick thing I want to talk about: taplining or creating attachments, astral attachments, in the kind of what I'll call the New Age movement. So the New Age movement in brief, is like looking into kind of old magical practices, alternative ways of being in the world, you know, whether it be through meditation or you can do healing past lives, so past life regression, and then you kind of figure out what happened to you in a past life and then you heal that. I think that's a huge taplining thing because we don't need to revisit those past lives. I was guided in a real psych experience that you can just blow it away, you know, take a big breath, blow it away, and it's gone. You don't need to heal it. You don't need to go through some deep emotional healing or energy healing. If anything, that's trapping you there and making it more concrete in your energy field. So that's one thing I wanted to share. Yeah.
It's fun to listen. Yeah, you speak really well, so it's really cool. I actually did one of those things one time. I had this decision. I wasn't sure what to do. How I was flying to America from Costa Rica, and I didn't know how long I wanted to stay in America for. And it's really kind of ridiculous now that I look on it, because you're supposed to have a flight out of the country when you get there. Anyway, I didn't know how long, so I went to this lady who, you know, a friend knew, and she did this thing called tapping, where you, like, tap your thymus gland. Okay, I had no idea what I was going to do, really, when I got there. And so I'm, like, tapping my thymus gland, and she's, like, telling me to, like, you know, think of a moment in my past where I'm, like, happy or something. And then, like, you know, she, like, tells me, like, walk around in this moment and, you know, until I find something that basically wasn't pleasant and, like, revisit that situation. And it's like you said, you're, like, revisiting some, like, emotional trauma that I had already gotten over because it had nothing to do with my real awareness. And sorry, I got a noisy neighbor with a rubbish bin there. And so, so anyway, yeah, I just totally know what you're saying. And I left feeling like it was, like, such a waste of time and a stupid, you know, useless experience. But in a way, it's like, well, I decided I wanted it, so I had it, so... But I was hoping you could talk about, Cornelius, about, you know, when you found the new presentation, just how you went about, you know, finding out more, you know, which videos you watched or how you came across it, and you know, the restrictions within your personal self, about, not the restrictions, but the hesitation within your personal self, but, you know, that's always there because it's so indoctrinated to be so literal, and what we're presenting here with the new presentation, the wonderful Worldwide Educators, is not literal. It's just real, and you can't even describe it, but you can refer to the all is, which is what we're presenting, and we can share things like you said, like tap lining and all sorts of other stuff that you can see within creation. That you can get the reference to what doesn't make sense, but the personal literal self only knows created stuff that doesn't make sense. So if you could just talk about a bit about that, that'd be cool.
Oh yeah, sure, man. So yeah, how I found the new presentation is, so I think how I describe it right now, reflecting on it, is about a year or so leading up to when I found it, which was just the new year of 2019, like the first or second week of January, I turned my competitive, you know, this idea of being competitive or being really disciplined, I turned that towards, you know, studying. So I said, okay, I'm going to study a lot, just study psychology, religion, philosophies, you know, ancient history. And I was just constantly always watching videos or finding articles online or different books to read. And eventually I'm coming across this idea of exiting the matrix. And I had a lot of resistance to that because I wanted to fix things here in the matrix. I wanted to, you know, basically some of my big ideas are everyone needs to move out of major cities. Everyone needs to have their own gardens. Everyone needs to be more self-sufficient if we're going to really have a humane civilization. And which I think are all good ideas here in creation. And I think I'll continue to explore that because because I have free will to do that. It's my choice to agree to it. But essentially what happened was I was looking for videos on, you know, what does it mean to exit the matrix? What does it mean to go to maybe another dimension, you know, from 3D to 5D or something like that? And it just happened to come across just in my, you know, recommended videos on YouTube, which I think is was a sort of real guidance coming through. I said, and it said, the real wake up now. I said, okay, cool. I woke up, but let's see what else there is to wake up to. And like, so the real wake up now was something, was a, I think a 7-part series that Dwayne the Great Writer was giving. And he was recorded, you know, as an interview. And each part, there's 7 parts, each part is like 1.5 hours or more. And that I just clicked on the first one. I was like, okay, cool, let's see if I can wake up some more. And within like 5 or 10 minutes, I was just like transfixed. I was like, what is he talking about? Dwayne was saying all these things about taplining, about how pretty much everything you can agree to can keep you here. And it just started, I just started having all these realizations about, you know, okay, I can decide to over and over again just have a reason to come back to creation to fix something. And I have, I've come back so many times, you know, whether it be to, you can come back to creation to heal a relationship, to, you know, make good of it if you had a bad one in the past. You can come back to creation to, to get somebody, you know, some bad guys that did you wrong in the past. There's so many, or just to do it better, you know, if you think, I didn't do creation that well last life, so I need to come back and do it better, which I think one of the main reasons I'm here. I think I, one past life that came to me was, I was a really, really dedicated priest of sorts, and I think in the Catholic or Christian faith. And I just wanted to do it better, you know. So I came back, and luckily I saw through that as soon as I came back. But yeah, so I just started listening to the Real Wake Up Now series, and I listened to all 10 hours or so of it in like 2 days. I just was walking and going to work and just had it in my headphones the whole time. And all these ideas I used to have just fell away, like all the... And I wouldn't even say it was just ideas. It was more like feelings. Feelings fell away, like this kind of draining emotional attachment to, I have to do more. I have to make things right. I have to fix everything. I have to start a blog, and I have to make YouTube videos and need to change everyone's mind. You know, all these conspiracies that are going on, everyone needs to know. And I need to, you know, petition against the government, all these crazy, ridiculous things that they're doing to destroy the environment and put people in oppressed states of living. And all that is, in general, in creation, is a good idea. But the fact is, I don't have to do that, and I don't have to feel bad about, you know, not succeeding in that, because in reality, or in the truth of it all, there is no true succeeding. That's just an idea in creation. And once you succeed at one thing, there's going to be something else, because that's the effect of it. It's just a constant, endless cycle of, you have to succeed at this and then that, and then achieve this and that, over and over. There's something going to be, there's something that can be succeeded at or created, in a sense. It's endless. And what it did was, listening to Dwayne the Great Writer speak and make really incredible references to how to view things, it helps my emotional body, my astral attachments, just kind of drift away. You know, the tap lines would sever themselves, and I didn't feel so heavy-headed. I didn't feel so heavy in my mind about not doing enough. You know, all that just started to slip away. And I know maybe if anyone's listening to this now or in the future, they say, well, no, you should be, you know, trying to eradicate evil and make everything right. And I do feel that that's a good idea, but only in creation. And I'm going to do that to a certain degree, but personally, I'm choosing not to do it anymore to the degree where I'm like unhealthy or low energy or depressed or angry. Because that can be a tap line too. You know, that can be an emotional attachment that keeps you here, which is, you know, as I just mentioned, I didn't do it right in past lives, or I didn't do enough. So I can constantly be attached to that, to getting more done, doing more good even, can be a tap line. So, and also I had an intuition that I've left creation a few times. I don't know how many times, but then come back because it just looked interesting. And that was fine. You know, that's what I agreed to do. But I'm coming to a point in my real awareness that, hey, I've played around here a lot. So I don't know how many lives in this current, you know, re-logging in of creation. It's a couple hundred. You know, I have intuitions about Egypt and definitely the medieval times. I was a huge player in the medieval games of life. And, you know, being Irish and all that myself, I have strong affinity for those lands, the green fields and all that, and all the medieval stories and the Celtic myths. And by the way, myths are not myths. You know, myths are actually real stories of real things, real dragons, real wild creatures, real gnomes and trolls and real dwarves. You know, one time I was breathing, doing a breathing exercise, trying to go to sleep. And just all of a sudden, I was laying in my bed and I kind of opened my eyes because I had I was just kind of impulse to do so. And there's this little white being, kind of like a gnome, about 10 feet away in my room. And it telepathically started to talk to me and it said, hey, you know, you have a lot of energy. You know, you've done so much good in your life. You know, so wonderful that you're here. So it was like one of those earthly elemental beings, a light being. So it was this little gnome, but it was all like light. So he wasn't like he didn't have a red hat or anything like that and a beard, but he had the shape of a gnome. But he was a light being. So anyway, he's telling me that, you know, how wonderful I am and how awesome it is I'm here and the mission that I'm on, it's incredible. And that was like a year and a half ago. So I thought, I was, okay, great. I'm on a good path. This is cool. I'm living out my mission, why I'm here. But looking back on that now with my new levels and expanded awareness and how I recognize things, that was very real, but also, you know, if I saw him again or the light being again, I would probably say, hey, thanks, you know, but I think I'm going to go, you know, into the real universe. You know, this is great. I'll do something here, but this is, I think I'm done. You know, that's how I'm looking at it now. Because then I also realized, like, before that happened, I was so obsessed with the idea of extraterrestrial contact and like a ship landing in my backyard and or having a guide, you know, talk to me while I go through the day. And I just wanted that contact like all the time. And so when that happened that night, I wasn't even that impressed, really. So then that also made me realize, like, oh, this, I've done this before. I've done this so many times, actually. You know, I've interacted with ETs or gnomes or magical creatures. I've slayed dragons. You know, that's all great, but I've done it. So I've done it in video games, too, in this life, whatever. So it's, I go with the recognition of it, and I say, what else? What else? That's a question I ask myself very often the past month or so, ever since seeing the new you. That's kind of I either sing the new you in my head or out loud when I feel that I'm being taplined or becoming more emotionally attached to something, or I ask myself, what else? You know, that's something that guides me. And then it's interesting, I get these kind of intuitions or a few ideas in my head where, well, what else is I get? Usually I get root causes of things. So, for example, I'll be in the city and some arguments are going on. For example, I was on the metro train, the subway train, and a fight broke out right in front of me. of two girls. I was like, that was really crazy, and I got really stressed out, and it was really like draining my energy and my body. And I started to kind of sing the new you in my head and said, why that happened or what else is going on. And just it was like, well, they have karma with each other and they haven't figured it out, and that's not yours, so what else? And that's it. Just immediately my body felt better. You know, I don't have to fix that. It's theirs. It's all theirs, 100%. None of it's mine. So, yeah, singing the new you and recognizing more allows me to move a little lighter through life and move a little more, also more grounded, I would say, to the earth. Because as I was mentioning before, I'm not obsessed with waiting for a ship to land in my backyard or have some more elemental beings talk to me. You know, that's because, as I mentioned, I've done it a lot. And it was really cool, actually, a lot in my past lives. But it's not that interesting to me anymore. It was for a brief period of time in this incarnation, but no, not at this current times, you know, the past couple of months. So I'm more interested now in playing drums, doing a lot of breathing, because I think breathing for me just, it keeps me in just a balanced, generally healthy state. Listening to cool music that really isn't, makes sense. It's not like what I would call Satanist or demonic music, you know, overly indulgent with sex, drugs, and violence. You know, all of that is really dark energy, a huge tap line for sure. But just music that's a little more lighthearted personally, even especially the past couple of weeks and months. It's like music that doesn't need to be plugged in electronically, because as I learned more about what's happening with electronics or technology on the planet, it's becoming a huge concern for so many people, for me. The 5G network things that are being installed, the EMF waves that are constantly all over the place. So the more I can stay away from things that are technology, the better. So I try to play drums that, you know, hand drums, acoustic guitar, flutes and whistles and percussions, or just sing, you know, outside. So the more I can do that, the more I feel real, the more I feel a little more alive and energetic. So that's just what I'm deciding. It's what I'm agreeing to, and it makes sense to me right now. And I'd like to share that with other people that, if it makes sense to them, I'd like to find those people. So, and just have a little fun. That's where I'm at right now.
Cool. Thanks, Cornelius. That's real cool. And we have a few callers on here listening. So just ask Dean Val if you have something you'd like to ask Cornelius.
Hi, Cornelius. Thanks for being on. You got a lot going
hey,
on.
Val.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, thanks, man.
I wonder if you could expand on that moment when you recognized that Dwayne, what he was presenting made sense. Was there like a actual moment of recognition you can expand on, or was there such a thing, or just kind of blended into your perception of that this made sense?
Yes, I would say, if I could just actually take a moment, it's more of a blending, like the more as the minutes and hours went by of listening. But I think it was, if I can remember, I think there was one statement he made, which is, you know, actually, to be honest, it was when he just talked about when he makes the statement very often, which is recognize the isness. So when that statement was made, it was like this, something clicked where it's like everything just is. And then he said it, but then when he couples that with something you can't really consider with your literal mind, that was a moment where I said, okay, I'm on to something here. This really is the real wake up now. You know, when it's the isness, everything is, and it's something you can't consider with this mind, with the literal mind. That was it. And then after that, it was the blending of just, okay, more realizations of how the tap lining works, of how we become more attached. Just the more I listened, the more I started to recognize all of the ways that you can become attached to being in creation.
Thanks. Very cool. You've got a great perception of it, you know, because, like, I always thought too, like, there is, you know, if God, the idea of God, if it's everywhere, everything, it always has been, always will be. I mean, the human idea of it is very, very limited and restricting. So there must be something else about this reality, and Dwayne just, you know, nails it the way he presents it and you know, shares it.
Oh yeah, I agree. It's like, yeah, that was it. It was the isness helped me just kind of not rise above or out or it's all these things I'm saying right now are just ideas with my mind. But yeah, as you say, I can't consider it. I can't really explain it. It's present. It's yeah. That's how it is.
Thanks for being on.
Okay.
Enjoy your story. Thank you. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Val.
Yeah, and just before we go to the next caller, we've only got 5 more minutes where we're live on air. We can go for another hour off air, but if anyone's listening and hasn't called in, just within the next 5 minutes, you can call in to keep listening via Skype or via the phone number. Okay. And the next caller is 718 area code. Not sure who that is, but if you'd like to ask Cornelius a question or make a comment, go ahead.
I'm just listening. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. And then we have Tim from Oregon here, is also on the line. Tim, did you have something to say or ask?
Hi. Yeah, I listened to the your drumming, singing the new you. I think what's going on is that you're paying attention. We're paying attention instead of not paying attention about life. It's these words that I have right now that Dwayne said that are pretty important is to have the heart of a child, pure and real, is the true purpose of life. So it's a lot to to try to perceive actually what the words really mean, pure and real, being the true purpose of life. That's it. That's something that seems to be very important.
Yes, I agree, Tim. Thank you. It's my experience with the children is, yeah, it's pure, sincere, and innocence too. I've hardly come across a child that didn't do anything that was like, let's just say their minds weren't trained or programmed too deeply yet. So it was just a pure, since they did it so sincerely, whatever they did or said or felt, it was really sincere. Yeah.
Okay, well, that might be all from our callers today. Yeah, just thanks for coming on, Cornelius. You're really like I said, you speak really well, very calm and slow and clear. And I can see you've slowly gone about, you know, making sense of this life and getting past all this created stuff that's all around us here that's so distorted to keep us dumbed down and unaware and slaves and food. whether it be emotional, physical, or mental, to the world controllers, or the, we call them reptilian alien tapliners. And it's great to have you share your story, and we can share it around on YouTube and Facebook and Discord and anywhere else that we can think of, SoundCloud and things, and so people can get the view, because it's just, like you said, what we're sharing is the is, and it just makes sense. And so it's so cool to hear your experience, and you're doing something too. You're making videos, you're reading some of Dwayne's titles, and you're playing the new you, with the singing the new you while playing the drum, and maybe someday soon we can collaborate and make some music together, and that'll be fun. And yeah, is there anything else you wanted to share, Cornelius?
Oh no, that's shared a lot, and I appreciate all the kind words, and yeah, everyone look out for my videos. Yeah, I think it's seeing the new you and posting that, and just posting my thoughts on things, and reading some of the new presentation, the titles, and maybe sometimes what I like to do is extract, you know, from various new books too, and speak on that, you know, maybe just a passage and then speak on it. Sharing is something that's really important to me, and that's helping me recognize more. The more I share, it's things become, yeah, more real and interesting, and why not? So that's where I'm at right now, and anyone can contact me on Facebook or check out my videos, and definitely look out for more new fun drums, and some, maybe, yeah, as Henry just mentioned, some music. Yeah, it'd be really fun to make some music. So that's all.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for everybody for listening. Share this around, and we'll see you next time. I think on Friday we'll be doing the second episode of Meet the New Kids with Kara from Canada. So stay tuned. Thanks, everyone.